Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome once again. It's that time again, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as you know, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is the FSB Crew Show. We got a great show in store for you tonight. But first, let me give you the number, which is sponsored by FantasySportsBookCasino.com hotline, and also that's a sponsor of this show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me or anybody else that's on the show. We got a guest coming on the show. I'm not exactly sure what time, but she's rolling through here, coming from the land of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, and hopefully from the down south way. She comes in here and drops a little knowledge about where she hangs her hat. But before that, let's bring in my esteemed caller that I do know who this is. I don't know if he's checking up on me to make sure I don't do the malfunction yet or whatever. Welcome, Macau. How you be, my man?
What's up, man? How you feeling?
All right. Well, as you know, let's start it off this way. Mr. Donald Sterling, back and forth, going to sue $4 billion. Wife is accepting the plan to sell a team. The owners decided not to carry out a vote because they had a deal in place, supposedly, to buy the team for $2 billion from a guy, ex-CEO of Microsoft, Steve Ballmer. And then yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that Donald Sterling finally decided with a smile on his face, because you know he's going to get paid. So it was an ego thing and probably a principle thing, but the money took away those principles. Your thoughts, Donald Sterling finally saying, yeah, I'm selling, what the heck?
I mean, it's still like I told you, you know. There is no penalty for this man. No penalty at all. And then I'm thinking all that bickering and back and forth was to drive up the price. This dude just got $2 billion for a second-tier Los Angeles team. Come on, man. He just robbed y'all. He just robbed everybody. You know, and all these people talking about the gladiator, he just robbed the NBA. Murdered, I mean, he just robbed them. And he just robbed this dude from Microsoft. He just robbed him. Oh, my goodness, man. This is, I don't know what else to say about it. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know.
I was hoping that they would lowball that joint for like $500 million. Or $600 million. Oh, I would have been. That would have been more of a slap on the wrist for him. But this is exactly what I called it—a golden parachute. And he was just haggling over making that parachute bigger. That's all.
You know. I gotta admit, man, that $2 billion for the LA Clippers seemed a bit much to me. And I was extremely surprised that I shouldn't be saying extremely surprised. I was surprised. That was the price agreed upon. But I think it was put that high, so he really didn't have a squawk about it because he was going to get paid anyway. But $750 million compared to $2 billion or $1.5 or whatever, $2 billion sounds a heck of a lot better. And there's a lot of cushion between what I actually thought it would go for and a lot of other people and what it's actually selling for, $2 billion, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't think that it would get over a billion. I'm thinking, oh, worst case, I mean, best case for him is a billion. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Worst case, 100 million. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I felt like, you know, the closer that we were to 500 million was the closer that we would get to the real slap on the wrist for him.
Right.
But this is no slap on the wrist, man. This is a golden parachute, man.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar
right, what,
to
what?
A lot of those CEOs that took those bailouts when we gave them bailouts to their company.
Well, I think this besides Mark Cuban, this bailed out the owners too for making a move that maybe they really didn't want to make, even though public opinion was pushing them in that way. They quickly got this done and quickly dismissed the meeting that was supposed to be a vote on whether he was going to stay in or out. So, we're going to move on. Let's do this first. I'm going to bring in Jeff and say hello to Jeff, and then we're going to bring in a special guest because she's been sitting on here for a bit. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry. What's going on?
All right.
What's up?
All right. Here we go, guys. We got a special guest here. She's calling from the 407, Ohio-born, Texas-raised, Florida-living, wife and a mama, sports writer, UCF Athletics beat writer. I'm taking this right from her Twitter page. Let's welcome to the show for the first time ever, Shannon Owens Green. Hello, Shannon.
Hi, guys.
All right. This is the second
week. I
like that
welcome.
This is historic. Let me tell you. You know why, Shannon? This is historic. We occasionally, I'm saying, have a female guest on the show because it's basically a guy's show. And no offense, but it's basically a guy's show. Most of the time we have guys, special guests on the show. But this is the second week in a row. We had a woman from California, and she was covering. She was covering the Clippers, I think. Now we have another female. She's covering in Florida State, where Mickey and Donald Duck, part of them reside. And she covers the University of Central Florida. Welcome, Shannon. How you been? And what's happening?
I've been good. Just hanging in there, balancing, you know, the mom and the wife and the sports writer thing. It's a lot of hats to juggle, but everything is good. Everything is everything.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. Let me ask you something. I've been scouring the internet, trying to get some info on it, and you are a hard person to get some info. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you some time, and you're going to tell us Shannon Owens Green and her journey from Ohio to where you're at right now.
Well, I was born in Akron, Ohio, but I really spent most of my formative years in Dallas, Texas, and went to Duncanville High School. Went to the University of Texas, and then from there took a job in Des Moines, Iowa, worked there for 2 years, and then landed in Orlando with the Orlando Sentinel, where I've now been for 9 years. I think this year will be 9 years. No, 9 years.
So you took a job when you graduated from Texas in Iowa, of all places. Okay, I shouldn't disparage Iowa. What type of job in Iowa did you take?
I covered Drake in Northern Iowa, their athletic programs, or the women's athletic programs, and then I was also covering high school sports there. But, I mean, you know, when you're coming out of school, you got to take any offers that you can get. Because I had a offer to do an internship at the Dallas Morning News, but, you know, the difference between paying off bills and interning, I think that was a hard decision.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It served me well.
Okay, so you had a job in Iowa, and what made you decide to go to Florida and sign up with the Orlando Sentinel? How'd that come about?
Well, that's a tough decision. I mean, if you're not from Iowa, it's not the most ideal place, in my opinion, to want to stay for a while, just because.
Right.
It's a very family-oriented place, and if you don't have relatives and family there, and it's cold as you know what there, it's, you know, eventually you're going to want to get out. So after 2 years, and I had a great work experience, I'll say that. I worked with great bosses, great co-workers, so my work experience was fantastic. Personal life was not popping. So
okay.
Definitely wanted to get out of there and be in a more warm weather climate, since that's what I'm used to, having been raised in Texas. So I went to the National Association of Black Journalists conference and was told that there was an opening at the Sentinel. I turned in my clips and got a phone call from Lynn Hoppus, who was the then sports editor, and got hired.
Okay. What type of work in the beginning did you do versus what you're doing now?
Well, one of the things that I really liked about the Orlando Sentinel was it was a place where they weren't so stuck on titles and roles. You kind of got to do a little bit of everything.
Okay.
So in some newspapers, you know, you go there and you are the this person or the that person. You're the UCF, you know, you get very stuck into your role. So when I came to the Sentinel, I came like a lot of people. You were pretty much general assignment. You did a lot of takeouts, Broadway stories. This is when the industry actually supported long-form writing, which
right.
changed. So
right.
I did GA work. I then wrote columns for about, I want to say, 4 or 5 years. I was a columnist, and then now I am covering the beat. The UCF, which is doing really well right now. Readership is high. UCF is officially on the map. So it's a good time to be on the UCF beat.
Okay. I'm going to give it over to one of my co-hosts so they can ask you a few questions, because I want to get into something that I just read about UCF on the Internet today. So, Jeff,
okay.
Do you have any questions for Shannon?
Shannon's
Green.
Well, thank you for joining us. And just being somewhat familiar with the sports scene in Central Florida, I'm curious, have you had the opportunity to cover arena football working in Orlando?
I did a little bit of arena football. It was more so on a GA level, hit or miss. I mean, I wasn't, like, covering the team, you know, as far as being a beat reporter. But I had done some takeout stories here or there.
Because, you know, I'm one of the few people who really likes the Arena League. I used to be really into it. Not quite as much now, but that's a really underrated sport. And, you know, Florida, you know, Orlando and Tampa, no joke, that is one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports. And
really?
You
say it's one of the greatest
in all of sports? The war on I-4. Yeah, I'm telling you. And if you ask around, you know, you'll probably find someone who follows the Arena League. Oh, excuse me, I'm on the road right now. I'm about to die.
Don't
sometimes
do that.
They start out the show on the road. You know, I mean, you know, Florida has such, you know, a great football state. And it's just very fitting that arena football has done pretty well. And I think the league has taken a setback since they shut it down for about a year in 2009.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know what to call it. It's almost like a cult following. But when the league was doing better, you know, they got really good crowds. you know, in Tampa, in Orlando. It didn't do so well in Southern Florida. It didn't take off in Jacksonville. And I guess one of the reasons is because, you know, there's just so many, you know, great football players from that state. And, you know, if it doesn't work out in the NFL, you know, they go back home and then they're looking to maybe, you know, keep playing, you know, for whatever reasons, if they're trying to get back to the NFL or, if, you know, they just want to play. And they've had some, you know, great, great teams in, you know, Tampa and Orlando. John Gruden's brother was a great Arena League quarterback, you know, before Kurt Warner. And they said if it would have been after, he probably would have got NFL opportunities, but he didn't get that shot. But and now look, with mostly Arena League experience playing and coaching, now he's a head coach. So the Arena League's given so much to the NFL. But you know what? So you cover basketball?
Yes.
And didn't Rutgers play UCF?
I don't believe Rutgers played at UCF.
Okay, I think, I'm sorry, it might have been USF.
I just got on the screen, so I'm still getting caught up.
But, you know, UCF, do they have to compete with the big three for football fans?
Not so much now. You'd be surprised. UCF now in Central Florida is definitely the team that everyone wants to follow. I mean, you know how fans are. They like the bandwagon and jump on what they think is hot. Florida's been struggling under Will Muschamp. Florida State obviously is doing well, but they're 4 hours away in Tallahassee. So UCF really has become the hometown team, and I definitely think Blake Bortles had a lot to do with that because he was from this area. And now with him being drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars, it just makes the connection, the home connection, that much stronger for football fans in Central Florida. And I know you were talking about arena football earlier. I was going to say one of the things that makes Central Florida such a unique spot for, you know, the Arena League or other smaller professional sports football teams that have come to the area is that we don't have an NFL team here. So you're kind of stuck in between Jacksonville, the Bucks, you know, the Dolphins are way down south. And a lot of people that live in Central Florida aren't from here. You have a lot of people that are from Boston, New York, different people that come from different areas, and they congregate here. So you have such a mixture of backgrounds here. So I think that UCF's rise with, you know, winning a Fiesta Bowl last year definitely helped give this city more of a football identity that it didn't really have before because it was just so segmented.
Okay. Hey, Macau, you have what you have on your mind for Shannon Owens Green?
Oh, I'm going to hit her right between the eyes. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh boy, you gotta watch him.
Hey, look, you know I'm gonna be right up on the line, and but then I'm gonna back up, right? So I'm gonna do it. So do you, in your travels now, are you getting in any stories inside the locker room, like after the game? Do they allow that in the UFC?
I'm sorry, you're kind of cutting out a little bit. You were asking, do they allow access?
Yeah, in the locker room, after the game.
Well, I haven't covered a game yet. I just got on the beat in the spring, so I'll see that in the fall what the locker room access is like. From my previous experience, I don't recall going to the locker room. Mostly everything now is done, you know, in press conference. They grab a couple of guys, and that's generally how it's done. I think the last time I've been in a football locker room, had to be the Bucks when we were covering the Bucks and the Jags a little bit more. I want to say going into the Bucks, this was a couple of years ago because our paper hasn't really covered those teams in a while. But I'm thankful. There's nothing in the locker room that I can't get that they can't bring to the press conference. So I'm good on that.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. I already got her to say something, Jerry. Got it.
Well,
I knew that's where this question was going. So.
Yeah, you know that. You know that. See, that's why I was trying to prepare you for talking to him, because he happens to be the person that speaks on the edge, which is nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing, but I just had to prepare you for that. Anyway, you had said that Iowa wasn't a social mecca for meeting and greeting. Well, apparently Florida is, because now you're a wife and a mama, okay? How do you jumble those three jobs, being a professional reporter and being a wife financially and a mama?
That is a great question, and I'm still trying to figure out the answer to that. When I get one, I will gladly get back to you.
You're saying a work in progress. Is that what you're saying?
It's hard, man. It's really hard because, you know, my daughter is 10 months, so she's still really young. And
right.
Trying to balance, you know, taking care of her needs and meeting the demands of what we do, it's difficult, but it's doable. So I will say this. I am very blessed and fortunate in that I don't work the traditional 9-to-5 job. The upside is I work from home. My daughter's in daycare part-time, so I don't have her at home every day, just a couple days a week, and then she'll be full-time once, you know, college football season starts.
Right.
So I'm blessed in that respect. And, I give it up to all the mamas out there that really have it super tough, where they are, you know, they don't have any flexibility with their jobs, or, you know, even if they're single moms. I mean, as you know, I'm married, so I don't have to do it all by myself. So it's tough, but it's doable.
Okay.
Now,
well,
if I have three kids or something, then I might, you know, jump off of them, and then that would be hard.
I don't need to get personal, but is it going to stop at one, or are you thinking of expanding your family?
I would love to have another child. I really would. I enjoy being a parent. I enjoy, you know, seeing the world through their eyes. I would enjoy having another child, but I don't know that I'd want to go too much past two, because doing this type of job where you have to travel on weekends and you work nights and you have very untraditional hours, work holidays, Thanksgiving and all that, it would be difficult, in my opinion, to maybe go past that. But I never say never. We'll see.
Well, like I had said, that you're a mama. You talked about being a mother, okay, and handling this job. But you didn't talk about being a wife and handling this job and the stress it may put.
Oh, good catch, Jerry. Good catch.
And the difficulties being away from home with a husband and a daughter. How's your husband? And I don't mean to get personal, but how's your husband handling? No, I'm just saying. I'm trying to get the perspective of a woman doing a professional job like this and being able to jumble three different jobs: your professional job, being a wife, and being a mother. You talked about mother. Now I'm asking you about your wife.
I'm glad you recognize that they are all separate jobs, because they really
yes.
are. Well, I'll say this. The great thing for me is that I have a very supportive partner, and I think that's what's key to any healthy marriage. You know, no
mm-hmm.
matter what you do, you have to have somebody that's supportive, understands what your vision is, and you guys craft your own game plan for how you're going to make it work. I mean, what works for one person is going to work for another person. And I'm fortunate in that I don't have to travel a lot. I mean, with college football, it is, you know, pretty much it's late July, August until, well, you hope your team go far, until January. So
right.
It's not as though it's taken up all your entire year. It's really like 6 months where you're really, really grinding and working hard. The other 6 months, you know, you have college basketball, and on some level you hope your team you know, necessarily go to the championship every year, so you get a little bit of a breather. But it's not that bad. And also, like I said, I don't travel that much. I only have maybe 4 or 5 road games, and you have your bowl games or whatever other postseason things it's doing. And I know for UCF this year, they're going to Ireland. They're opening up their season against Penn State. So, you know, that's fun. It's funny because I actually always wanted to go to Ireland. So this is a great opportunity for me to take that vacation and not have to pay for it. I mean,
okay.
That's always a win.
I hear you. We have another caller on here. It happens to be pioneer for our show, Mr. Vic Gardner. Victor, how you doing? And do you have a question for Shannon Owens-Green?
I do have a question.
Somebody's got a lot of noise behind them.
That would not be me.
Wouldn't be me.
Not me.
Well, I heard it. I muted the phone. Anyway,
there we go.
Bottom line is this. Thank you very much for coming on to the show, Ms. Owens-Green. I greatly appreciate it. Jerry and my cousin were touching upon a lot of issues. I know you're in a predominantly male-oriented profession, whereas the male is in the locker room. The male is following the player, da-da-da-da-da. Is there a glass ceiling, or do you believe that women in your line of work have broken that glass ceiling to move forward and be accepted, not as one of the boys, but just be looked at just as a regular reporter?
That's a great question. That is a deep question. I have so many complex feelings about that topic and about the industry.
Express them all. Feel free.
In some ways, yes. In some ways, I definitely think there's been a lot of change. When I started, Jemele Hill was actually working at the Orlando Sentinel. And at the time, I believe she was the only African-American female columnist working at a major metro. And then when she left, then I started writing columns. And I know there have been a couple of others. Richard Lapchick from the Diversity Institute at UCF, he follows all these, you know, numbers. And the thing that I know me and Jemele used to laugh about was how the numbers really didn't change on the columnist front. She left for ESPN, and at the end of the day, there weren't that many more black female columnists. It kind of changed from like 1 to 4. I don't know if
Wow.
you call that a great amount of change. But that was more so on the African-American female front, just generally speaking to women in the business. Absolutely. You know, Sally Jenkins, Christine Brennan. I'll even throw out another name that people don't talk about a lot, someone like Raina Cash. You know, there's been plenty of women in this business that have definitely opened the doors for the next generation. My concern is never so much as, you know, okay, are women getting a job? It's what type of opportunities are they getting? Because people like, just like, you know, on the NFL coaching front, when we talk about minorities in coaching and stuff, you know, what type of opportunities are you getting? And asking, is there an open door to get there? If you say, okay, well, we have 5 women that work on our staff, and they're all high school reporters. No shade to, you know, cover high school sports. I've covered it too, but if your aspiration is to be a columnist, or you want to cover a college beat or a professional beat, a lot of times women get stuck there, you know. And that's, you know, in part, I would say, on management. So it's not just about, you know, are there women in business that cover sports, but are there women editors? Are there women producers? Are there women in those roles that help, you know, bust open more doors, that can create jobs or make the hiring changes? It's not just, you know, women that are writing or in front of the camera, and it's not just about having more eye candy on the sidelines. I mean, so don't get me started on this. I swear we could go for days on this. But,
no, I want you to. I really want you to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just generally that's how I feel about it. I feel in some ways we've taken steps forward, and in some ways it's stagnant. I haven't seen a lot of change. What's interesting is I find the challenges are generally not with you know, people have asked me before, you know, do athletes talk to you or do the guys make it hard? I find it's usually not the athletes and the owners and the coaches. Generally, they're pretty okay. I mean, you might have some that are a little old school and don't get it, but once they see your work, they tend to judge you on your work. I find more of the issues are in the journalism industry. It's not necessarily with the people that you cover. You know, once you get the job, you know, then it's on you to do the job. And I think athletes, are, you know, these days, they're used to seeing women, you know, in a reporter role or even a host role. I mean, look at Sage Steele, you know, she's hosting an NBA show, or even Jamel, she's hosting a show. So I think they see women. I don't think that they are so old school to where they're like, oh, my gosh, this woman is asking me a football question. At the end of the day, you know, if you understand the basics of the sport and you do your research and you do a good job, people are fine.
Okay. Victor, you got anything? Because I want to move it on to a different subject.
Okay. That was all I had on that. I just wanted to invite everybody to go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners and players place a wager on tonight's game before it gets started. That's
okay.
All I really had.
Okay. Just stay there for a minute, because I'm going to ask, since you're covering UCF, okay,
mm-hmm.
and your head coach, your head football coach, is in the news by making one statement. Because of what's supposed to be happening with the SEC threatening to take and form a Division V if the
right.
league doesn't give them some type of autonomy or some flexibility in creating their own bylaws. And the statement he made, and I'm pretty sure you're familiar with it, they sound like the South during the Civil War. If they don't get their way, they're going to succeed and start their own country. And he also went on to say, I think college football is in real trouble. I think some of these schools have forgotten where they came from. Your thoughts on your head coach of UCF, George O'Leary?
I mean, George, he's funny. Like, he's one thing I have really come to respect about him is that he is going to give you 100% raw truth every time. And it's refreshing to me to deal with someone that will tell it like it is as they see it and have a strong voice and an opinion, because sometimes in these cultural roles, they become many politicians and, you know, they don't really answer questions or they try to be so safe. And I get it. You know, these are million-dollar jobs and they're trying to protect their platform. So I can appreciate his honesty and his candor. And I do understand what he means when he says sometimes people have forgotten, you know, where their programs have come from, in the sense of, you know, not every college football program that is a power started out as a power. I mean, even
right.
in, you know, the American Athletic Conference, I remember I was writing something about how now they're going to break off into divisions, the East and the West, in 2015 once the Navy joined. And people were, you know, UCF fans were blowing a gasket about the teams that were in the division, saying, oh, it's too stacked. You know, they have Cincinnati, and they have all the hard teams, East Carolina. And in my head, I'm kind of laughing a little bit because I'm like, but Cincinnati wasn't always good. I mean, we're actually like they have always been a perennial power. They built their program just like a lot of programs have become strong programs through the years. So I think sometimes we have to remember not every school started off as a power. I mean, there were years where Texas wasn't that good. I mean, look at Florida. I think Florida won 4 games last year. So
right.
I think it's so funny when we all of a sudden just give certain, you know, powers to certain programs as though they don't have a story too, as though they didn't have to rise too. And what I thought was interesting in this whole autonomy discussion is it's interesting to me that really when you look at the Power Five or the Equity Five or whatever you call them, there might be, you know, in some conferences, maybe the SEC, there might be 5 strong programs, but every school in that conference is not a power school. You cannot tell me that Iowa State and Texas are anywhere near the same level in terms of their budgets, in terms of their competitiveness. And yet, what's interesting to me is, you know, schools that are on the bottom tier of those divisions, they're getting the benefit and the TV checks and all of the, you know, the perks and privileges of being in their conferences, whereas you might have another program, for example, like a UCF, that's a rising program, that is winning, they're doing the things necessary to put themselves in a better position. But now, once this governance structure potentially changes, now they can't reap the rewards of the seed that they planted, whereas you're going to have other schools that can suck every year just because they're in a good conference, and yet they're going to get the benefits just because they were in the right place at the right time. And there's something that just does not feel fair and balanced about that, and it takes away this ideology we have of an even playing field. I mean, we know it's not completely even. It's never going to be completely fair, but you want to at least have the hope to think that it could somewhat be there someday. So, I don't know. I get what he's saying, and I also understand that there are some rules that just need to change because they're antiquated and the NCAA has to change with the time. So, I think it's a very complex subject because there's points on both sides. And from my conversation with Commissioner Mike Oresco for the AAC, I think they're in line with most of the things that they have heard the Power Five talk about. I mean, they're okay with, you know, cost of attendance scholarships. They're okay with, you know, creating better medical benefits for students that get injured. I think most schools are in line with all of those things. The only thing I've heard, you know, people like Oresco take exception to is the potential change to transfer rules. And it hasn't been clearly laid out what that is. But I know in that letter that the Pac-12 university president sent out, one of the things that they mentioned was they wanted relaxed transfer rules. Well, what does that mean? And if there's relaxed transfer rules for the Power Five, does that mean that schools like UCF or, you know, schools on their same level of competitiveness, do they just become farm systems for Georgia and other schools to just come in and just pick off their talent? They go and they recruit these kids that maybe get overlooked or don't get a chance to go to those schools, and then they develop themselves into great players, like a Blake Bortles who didn't get recruited by hardly anybody. You know, is that what's going to happen now? They find the kid, develop them, and then FSU can just come in and cherry pick them? And I think that's the concern that a lot of those schools have is, well, what is that going to mean for us? We just want to be as close as possible in terms of, you know, having a structure to build our programs.
Okay. Well, since you're covering UCF football, I'm going to ask you, Blake Bortles got drafted number 3 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I imagine that either UCF is looking for a quarterback or has a quarterback that they're comfortable with going into the 2014 season. Talk to me about UCF football and especially the quarterback that's supposedly going to take Blake Bortles' place.
The quick answer to that is they don't know.
Okay.
They don't know who the quarterback is going to be. There's 4 guys that are going to be competing for the position with Boise State transfer Nick Patty. He's the 4th guy that came into the fray. He wasn't there during spring football. He'll be there in summer session too. But I think that's probably one of the biggest question marks for the team right now is they don't really know who's going to be the face of that team because they have a bunch of young guys that just really haven't caught onto the system yet. They have a freshman, Tyler Harris, that he's got all the, you know, intangibles as far as he's got the size, you know, he's athletic. But right now he only plays out of the shotgun. So he's still got to learn how to play under center and learn, you know, their system more. And he's only a freshman. So, you know, at the end of the day, you have to remember that a lot of these guys are young. They have a redshirt freshman, Pete DeNovo. He's young. They have a sophomore, Justin Holman. And then I believe Nick Patty is a sophomore as well. So all these guys are young. But from what I hear the coaches say, I think they feel okay with not having a number one guy only because they have a really strong receiving corps. They have in their key skill positions, they have a lot of experience. So I think they feel like as long as they have someone that can manage the game, they can get by on the talent around them, be it the running backs or the receivers, you know, tailbacks. They feel like they can make it work. And then their defense is really strong again this year. So I don't think that the drop-off is going to be what some people might think it is because Blake Bortles left and Storm Johnson isn't there. I mean, I think they'll still be decent. I think they'll be okay. And once the quarterback gets some reps under his belt and they figure that situation out, I think they'll be solid.
See, I love when people, and I'm knocking you, but I've listened to this type of speak before when you have four quarterbacks and we have a solid program around the quarterback and we just want him to manage the game. Usually when that happens, the quarterback position is a mess and it can spell trouble for a team and especially a experienced team, especially when you got guys at skill positions that are playing at a high level. And the quarterback is not playing at a high level. It has a tendency to bring the morale of the team down. So hopefully one of these guys steps up and surprises or is able to handle the pressure of being a up-and-coming UCF football program and be able to handle the pressure of that. I'm going to go around the horn. Starting with Macau, and ask if you have any more questions or anything that you want to talk to Shannon Owens about.
Macau. Yeah. Well, Jamel, I think she's fine as hell. Make sure you tell her to say that.
Thank you.
All right. Jeff, talk to me, my man.
I like that Shannon, if she's had the opportunity to cover horse racing, because Saturday is a very big day for racing fans.
I have zero knowledge about horse racing. I mean, I would love to tell you, you know, the breakdown, but I'm going to keep it all the way real. I don't follow anything about horse racing. The last horse racing thing I saw was the movie Secretariat, so... And I know that's very dated. So
yes.
That's all I know.
Yes. Wow. Before I get to the next guy, which is Victor, I want to ask you a couple things. You say you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. Am I right about that?
Yes.
why did you say Shannon, let me tell you something. I have... On the air now, not myself, but the three other guys that are on here. Macau's a Washington Redskins fan. Victor
Lord.
Is a Washington Redskins fan, and Jeff is a Dallas. I mean, excuse me, a Giant fan. So,
oh gosh. This is the worst of work.
Anyway, you watch basketball, I imagine, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What happens to be your favorite basketball team? Is it the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic, or is it someone outside the state?
It would definitely not be anybody in the state of Florida. I'm from Dallas, so I ride strong with all Dallas teams, which means the Mavericks is still my team.
Okay. Victor, go ahead. I had that on my mind. I had to ask. Go ahead, Victor.
That's fine. You know, stoke my little fire a little bit. You have a Cowboy fan on here, but it's okay. It's okay. I really want to keep it professional and go on the lines of what are your aspirations in the next 4 to 5 years? You talk about Jamil leaving, going to ESPN. Where do you see yourself in the next 3 or 5 years in your career?
I want to see you on TV. Let me put it that way.
Well, I want what all you guys want. I want all those things.
That's a bailout. That's a bailout answer. Come on now.
Well, listen, you know, in this business, it's hard to make. It's hard to set expectations, because I feel like when you set expectations, that's when you get disappointed. So at this point, you know, my career has taken so many twists and turns and unexpected journeys. I mean, I've been on the Rome show. I auditioned for HBO Real Sports. I've done all, you know, national things. I've been on ESPN. You know, I don't have, like, a specific, you know, game plan of I got to be at this point, because things change all the time in this business.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, as long as I am doing high-quality work that is read by a national audience, that's my goal. Where that is or how I get there, you know, that's up to the stars. I don't know. But I know that as long as I continue to work hard and be diligent, whatever is supposed to happen is going to happen.
You got a follow-up question for that, Victor, or no? Yeah.
Yeah, you got about 13 minutes, so I'll keep it brief. Now, I know our colleague, Michael Wright, reached out to you, came onto the show, and I greatly appreciate this. What type of advice would you give a journalist, a journalism class at UCF right now, especially knowing the people you know and the convictions that you have? What would you give that class? What little nuggets could you pass on to them, or anybody listening for that matter?
What advice would I give journalism students?
Yes.
I would say this is a very tough business, but if it's what you really love and what you're really passionate about, then, you know, pursue it. And don't worry about the result. Enjoy the journey, and continue to commit yourself to doing things in excellence, because I believe when you do things in excellence, you know, you're always going to reap a reward. I can't tell you what the form that is going to take, but I know that if you work hard and do things the right way, good things will happen. So that's what I would tell them, is just, you know, do things in excellence, continue to work hard, and don't give up on your dreams. But if you are not all about this business and if you don't actually love this, then you definitely need to not pursue this.
Okay.
Well, I understand. Go ahead, Jerry. That was all I had.
There's about 10 minutes left in the show here, and it's about 10 minutes before the first game of the NBA Finals starts. And a team from Texas is in the finals for the second year in a row, playing the same team it played last year. San Antonio Spurs, quite naturally, are hosting the Miami Heat. Talk to me, Shannon. And your thoughts on this matchup, deja vu all over again?
Oh, man, this is going to be a great series. I mean, you couldn't ask for two better teams to be in the finals, two very professional teams. I think that at the end of the day, it's going to come down to defense. You know, I know that's very cliche to say, because they always say offense sells tickets and defense wins games, but it really will. I know a lot of people are picking San Antonio, and as a Texas person, it would be great to see San Antonio win, especially since they got a bunch of, you know, old folks on the team that's about to draw some retirement checks. So I would love to see them, you know, ride out in the sun. But I really think that if the Heat do what they do best and they play great defense, because I know they've struggled this year. You know, they've been a little hit or miss sometimes, you know, on the defensive front. As long as their defense is strong, I think that they can pull that out. As much as I hate to say that, because I would like to see the Spurs win, but I do think the Heat will win. If they play good defense and nobody gets hurt and Dwayne Wade doesn't break his ankle and, you know, all these other things don't happen.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you, these guys, one more time if they have something that they want to ask you or say before we let you get out of here. And I'm going to go right down the line like I did before. Macau, talk to me.
Yeah, darling, you redeemed yourself with, you know, with that analysis of the Heat and Spurs. I was a little skeptical about you when I heard that Cal puke. It was messing up my head. I don't know, something was wrong with my ears or something. Like I said, you redeemed yourself with that. But all in all, I want to just thank you for sharing your stories with us. And, bearing with these old dudes up here, asking a whole bunch of questions, getting up in your business.
All of them things.
I think you have a really nice personality. If you keep that focus, I think the sky's the limit for you. Peace and blessings to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Jeff, you got anything before we let Shannon go out of here?
Well, thanks for joining us, and I appreciate your honesty. So thank you very much.
Victor.
Thank you.
Well, everybody said thank you and all. I want to invite you back whenever you have an opportunity to come on the show. And we have three shows, a Sunday, Thursday, and Saturday show, so find a way to fit us in. By all means, jump on board and bring some of that great analysis to the show. So, again, thank you, and you are more than welcome to return.
Well, I would love to come to the Boys Club again.
Oh, man. Well, we definitely appreciate you, and thank you for being a good sport. If we got all up in your business, it was on purpose. No, I'm just kidding.
It's all good.
Stop it, Jerry.
But I, from what I'm seeing here, you need to be on TV. The way you speak and everything else that comes with it, you need to be on TV.
For real, Slim?
I need to check that out.
You need to be on TV.
Okay.
Trust me. Okay?
All right.
So with that being said, I want to thank you for joining us. And just like Macau says, peace and blessings. And I don't know if you're going to watch the game, but enjoy the game if you watch it. And hopefully we can catch you during the football season, and you can give us an update on UCF. How about that?
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, people.
All right, take care.
You take care. Thanks for joining us. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. That was Shannon Owens Green. Very nice-looking young lady and very well-spoken. And like I said, she should be on TV. I think... eventually should get there. All right, guys, we got a little less than seven minutes left in the show. I want to, you guys, I was wrong about OKC. I was wrong about the Indiana Pacers. but I'm not going to be wrong about this. I think it's not going to be a repeat of last year, meaning that the Heat take their third consecutive title. I like the San Antonio Spurs, especially in the first game. LeBron is 0-7 in first games. I think San Antonio can fire the first bullet. I'm going to Victor, then Jeff, then Macau. Your thoughts, guys?
Well, I'll put it this way. One of my colleagues here, someone that's a little above me, lost a wager to me early in the week. And he has to place a $1,000 bet on today's matchup. And he did. He went to the website. He loaded $1,000 on the first quarter for the San Antonio Spurs. It's a point and a half. And I don't think they're going to cover. Honestly, I think that the streak that you were talking about, JT, of LBJ and the Heat, or LBJ losing in tonight. With that being said, I believe San Antonio is going to actually win the series and, you know, put an end to Tim Duncan's career and a few other folks. But it all is predicated on what our guest said, Ms. Owens Green said, playing tough defense. The last time these two teams played was March 24th or March 6th or something like that, and it was 111-87. The difference in that game was Dwayne Wade didn't play. I'm not saying he's going to be the X factor in this matchup, but Tony Parker's a little hurt. So it could be that Dwayne Wade and the Heat pull this game out. But ultimately, I have them losing the series. That's what I got.
Jeff.
I think this is going to be deja vu all over again. So, you know, as much as I respect San Antonio, I just can't. It's hard for me to visualize them upsetting Miami.
Jeff, you are one wise man. And let me say this. The stars have already lined up for the Heat, as Jerry has picked the San Antonio Spurs, as well as my cousin. So there's no doubt in my mind that Miami is going to win this. It's just going to be a matter of how. I think that Miami has to win, you know, one of these games here, and or game five. If they don't win any of these games, or they don't win game five, they're going to lose. But if they win any one of the three, you can just go ahead and book it for the Heat. But I am going for the Heat. I definitely believe now. I am totally in for the Heat now. Now that my team colleague Jerry has picked the Heat, and as well as my cousin, you know. And my cousin doesn't know what he's talking about, so, you know.
Really?
It's wrong.
Okay. Well, there's two other things I want to talk.
Jerry, I can respect Jerry. Jerry admits it. He admits it.
What did you say?
Yeah, I don't like the Heat. So anybody who's playing the Heat, I'm rooting for. So sooner or later, I gotta win one of these. But it is what it is. I just got something over the – well, not something, but it's been about a couple hours now – that the NFL draft, Ian Rappaport reports that the NFL draft for 2015 could be held in L.A., or Chicago, and could be expanded to 4 days. Victor, your thoughts on that?
Well, I heard about it. I knew Chicago and L.A. were in the running. They were also talking about, I think, Atlanta or Miami was another candidate. I'm not sure. I don't know about stretching it for 4 days, because that means you're just going to do the first round, day one, second and third round, day two, third and fourth round, day three, five, six, and seven, day four. I really don't think, unless they're going to solely air it on the NFL Network and take away a little bit from ESPN, you know, it doesn't really make sense, because not too many people are going to watch, you know, 3 to 4 days of picks. I mean, they're better off doing it like they're doing it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Don't take it in on Sunday. It just doesn't bode well, in my opinion, for that to happen like that.
Jeff.
They'll do anything for a buck, literally a buck. And it's pretty soon the draft is going to be a sideshow like the Super Bowl, and they're going to turn it into something unwatchable like the Pro Bowl. And I don't like the fact they pushed it into May. Yeah, they make another buck, but then these rookies have less time to get ready And, you know, on the NFL level, you know, a lot of times you're counting on rookies, you know. You don't get a year off to learn. I don't like it. Just, you know, keep it simple. Keep, you know, I don't know. I'm not liking it. They're making it silly.
All right, go ahead, Mikael.
I really think that this is, you know, another effort by the NFL to expand its brand. I don't know if I like it or not yet. I'll let you know later. But, you know, as far as business is concerned, this is a big win for them. This is a huge win for them. You get to expand the product now, and of course you take it to another city. So now you can pitch it to the other city, you know, to clamor for it, and it may even, you know, slap a sponsor on it. This is about money. It's about business, you know. And I don't know if I like it or not yet. I really didn't like the May thing. I kind of was already upset in the draft being like in April and whatnot. So I don't know about that, but business, I think it's a hell of a move.
Okay. All right, we come to the end of the show. We'll go around the horn, and if you guys, final notes or whatever you want to call them, because I'm going to sit and watch this game just like you guys are. And I'll go in reverse order. Mikael, Jeff, and then Victor.
Yeah, I want to say thanks to everybody. Good night to everybody. Also, send out a shout out to the young lady that was on here. I just seen the pick, Slim. Yeah, she official. And yeah, I think Jamel Hill is sexy. I don't care what y'all say. And he's a mess.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, I just want to mention that yesterday, somebody who's worked in baseball for over 60 years, Don Zimmer, passed away. And,
yes.
He's a big part of Yankees history and a big part of baseball history. Just had an amazing, amazing career. And, you know, as a player, a manager, a coach, you name it. I mean, he won a World Series with the Brooklyn Dodgers, and then he was with the Mets their first year when they lost 120 games. He played in Japan. He played in Latin America. He did it all. And when he talked about baseball, the kids listened. And the thing is, when I was starting watching the game, when he was manager of the Red Sox, a lot of people, maybe because of his appearance, talked about him like he was a chump. He was no chump. He knew his baseball. So I think he got that respect later on, and may he rest in peace.
Victor.
That's a good point, Jeff. You know, I forgot all about them passing away. I saw the picture yesterday. I just want to focus in on the fact that even though baseball season is going on and, you know, the NFL draft just happened and we're getting ready for the NFL season, a sport that, I don't know what happened, it lost its luster or whatever, but hockey is also having the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yep.
The L.A. Kings are back to prominence. The New York Rangers, who they're playing, back to prominence. I know we don't talk about hockey a lot, and I know we don't talk about golf or tennis, but some of these other sports are taking a huge backseat to the big three. And MMA has even come up in the ranks and surpassed the talking point for some of these sports. It is what it is, but I don't know if that sport is dying out within the global appeal, or is it just, we're tired of the BS because they're overpaid hockey goons that beat each other up and slap a puck in a hole. I don't know. But, you know, check out a game or two if you can, if it's on the TSN network or whatever. Go to a game, support it a little bit. You might like it. And on a side note, I know that JT is getting ready to go over some fantasy football stuff in a couple Saturdays. So I'm going to try to be on so I can give my opinions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But ladies and gentlemen, I've already opened and started a lot of fantasy football leagues. And here's one of my goals, to get Jeff Goldberg in one of them. So, Jeff, all I'm asking, Jeff, is you tell me what it is I need to do to get you in one of the leagues I want. And I'll make it happen.
Well, I'm sorry. To get me to do what?
To join one of the fantasy football leagues that I run.
Oh, well, just send me the info. I mean, just send me the details. I'm in two leagues with Black and Jerry, and, just send me the details about those leagues, and, maybe I could do it, yeah.
I know you don't like group defenses, so that might have to go away in one of my leagues. But in the Yahoo League, I might be looking for a replacement, as well as the ESPN. The Yahoo League has turned into a keeper league.
I like that. I like that, yeah.
Okay, well.
Send me the info. You know how to get me.
I got you, Jeff. That's all I got, JT, and I want to thank you again for holding down the fort for the next month. So I appreciate that.
No problem. And I want to thank Macau, Jeff,
JT,
and
sir. I wanted to say something real quick. It just came across my head. Yeah, I have been meaning to say it, but I wanted to let everybody know that there is absolutely no way that a Mayweather and Pacquiao fight will ever happen this week. The paper left Golden Boy, and what I'm predicting is that Golden Boy will fall by the wayside. Richard Schaefer will move over to Mayweather, and all fighters will be moving over there too, because mostly 90% of all the fighters on Golden Boy are managed by Al Haymon. So look for that to start to take place. Jeff Lahoya to be looking like deer with the headlights.
Okay. Well, with that being said, I want to thank you guys, Macau, Jeff, and Victor for dropping in and sharing the airways with Shannon. Shannon Owens Green. Definitely thanking her for showing up, and I'm definitely going to catch her during the college football season, so she can give her analysis on the status of UCF football and of college football in general during the season. With that being said, tune in next week, same time, same bat channel, as we talk about the news and notes of the past week of football, either fantasy sports or politics, whatever it may be. Who knows, we may have another special guest. Anything is possible. But until next week, stay safe, enjoy the weekend, and we're out.
Yeah, it's Mr. Anchor, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.